Hello, and welcome to this special SearchSecurity.com podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Blevins. In today's Fact or Fiction podcast, we'll discuss the evolution of cloud-specific security technology. Joining me today is cloud security expert Joe Graneman. Joe is an MBA, CISSP, and a frequent contributor to SearchCloudSecurity.com. Thanks for joining us today, Joe.
Thanks, Brandon. Glad to be here.
Before we begin, I want to mention that this podcast is part of our Cloud Security School. It is one of the many lessons you can find on our Security School page at searchsecurity.com/securityschool. Joe, let's set the stage for our discussion. In the past few years, as interest in cloud computing has increased, so have the number of so-called cloud security products. How much real cloud security innovation is there out there?
Well, Brandon, that's an interesting question, because if you would have asked me a few years ago, I would have said that we really weren't doing anything differently in the cloud that was different than what we could do internally. But as these solutions have grown, some of the benefits that the cloud offers to normal solutions that the businesses are taking advantage of also offer real advantages to security solutions. And the biggest thing is in data aggregation and how you can touch multiple systems from a single console. So I think that a lot of businesses should be really looking at some of the really interesting things that are happening in the cloud-specific security arena.
Okay, sounds good, Joe. Let's quickly explain how this will work for our listeners. I'll read a statement, and Joe, you'll tell me whether that statement should be answered with fact or fiction, and then explain why. So let's get started. Here's our first statement, fact or fiction. Advanced cloud hosting services don't require traditional security measures such as firewalls, intrusion detection, or patch management.
Well, Brandon, that is definitely fiction. And I think there's a lot of confusion around this because a lot of businesses will look at the security information that these vendors offer, whether it's Amazon, Rackspace, name your cloud provider. They've got really great information that talks about their security procedures. But when you dig into that, you'll see that those security procedures are really around protecting their infrastructure, not your data. So if you're going to put a server in one of these cloud providers, look for a lot of them will offer the firewall and intrusion detection services as an add-on, and they will do that for an extra fee. Or there are things that you can do with those cloud instances yourself just the same way you would do it as if it were on your perimeter network. I think that's the real key to this point, is that do your security processes the same way you would do as if it was sitting on the perimeter of your network.
Let's move on to the next statement. Fact or fiction? There are several options available to provide for administrative change control procedures with cloud-based resources.
This is a fact, and this is one of those places where I think the cloud is starting to eclipse what you can do locally. There are some really interesting providers out there that will take and aggregate all of your disparate providers. So if you've got multiple cloud services companies that you're working with, you can now create identities, do administrative controls, all from a single pane of glass, regardless of where that data is housed. We all know that when you get into all these different providers, time to manage all this will become a real complex problem because you're going to have different authentication methods, you're going to have different admins for different areas. There's even some really interesting capabilities where some of these systems now can offer your administrators a one-time password to get into the system, and you can set the time they can get in there and make those changes, because we all know that changes during production hours are definitely unwelcome. We want to make sure that our changes go through the proper testing procedures, just like they would on the inside of our network, and we want to make sure that the admin only has access to the time he needs to do his work, and that guarantees a secure environment. So there are really some great solutions out there that people should be looking into.
Joe, here's another one. Fact or fiction? Hacktivism and DDoS attacks may be more prevalent against cloud-specific targets.
Absolutely a fact. I always talk about the old bank robber story where they asked the bank robber why he robbed the banks, and he said, well, that's where the money is. Well, that's where the data is in our new economy, is in these big cloud-hosted providers. So whether or not you're the actual target of a malicious attack by one of these groups because of some type of revenge against your company or some other type of economic damage that they're trying to accomplish, you could also be kind of the standby attack, kind of be a casualty of the attack because you're hosted on the same infrastructure. So once you start moving and we aggregate all of our systems in the cloud, which is kind of the advantage of the cloud from an economic model, we're now increasing the risks that we could be attacked by a third-party attacker like Anonymous or one of the other groups that have been targeting businesses lately. So it's definitely a fact.
Okay, Joe, three down. Number four, fact or fiction. Disaster recovery is not necessary when planning cloud server deployments.
Wow, is this a fiction? And this is a fiction that a lot of people buy into. I think that you saw some of this a few years ago when Amazon lost their East Coast cloud for their storage management services. A lot of websites went dark. It's because when they put their data in the cloud, they thought, you know what, the cloud provider is handling all the redundancy and they're doing the duplication of data, and I've gotten multiple data centers with that provider, I'm probably okay. But when you look at it, you really need to look at doing disaster recovery a little differently when doing it in the cloud. It needs to be spread across multiple providers depending on how important that data is. The nice thing is there are so many different options in providing these types of solutions in the cloud that you'll find something that will match your cost model in order to provide the type of redundancy that you need for your service.
We've got two more to go. Next statement, fact or fiction. Encryption can completely hide confidential data from a cloud provider.
Well, unfortunately, this is a fiction, and it doesn't mean don't do encryption and the encryption is useless in the cloud. That's not what I'm saying. However, at some point during the data processing cycle, the server that's processing your data is going to have to decrypt it. It's going to have a copy of that private key in order to decrypt the data. So at some point, your cloud provider is going to have access to your data. You're going to have to try to mitigate that through other controls, whether it be contractual, legal, other technical controls around it. But be aware that encryption, although effective, isn't 100% effective from keeping people out of your data at the cloud provider.
Okay, Joe, here's our last one. Fact or fiction? Regulatory compliance for cloud-based services is simply a matter of implementing the appropriate cloud security technology.
Unfortunately, that's a fiction as well. There are a lot of great technologies out there, and I'm not saying you can't meet all compliance. You can meet some compliance measures. It depends on which one you're dealing with. PCI becomes pretty difficult in the cloud because of the separate data servers that need to be implemented in order to do that. You can do that in the cloud. However, that may take your cost advantage away that you were getting from putting your systems in the cloud in the first place. Then even if you meet all the technical solutions, you're able to provide that, a lot of the compliance also requires other types of agreements. For example, if you're dealing with HIPAA and you have to do a business associates agreement with all of your providers to make sure that if you share any patient data, that they protect that. Well, for example, if your company wanted to do business with Google, if you were a healthcare provider and you had to deal with HIPAA, Google doesn't go into these types of business associates agreements with providers. That's just not the business they're in. So they can provide almost every other technical security issue that you need to deal with. They can take care of that. But then you can't get the business associates agreement, so you can't move forward with your cloud-based solution. So you have to be really diligent about working through all the things. There's not going to be all just technical measures. You're going to have to make sure that your legal and compliance people step through the whole process with you. And unfortunately, technology is still not a replacement for good legal counsel.
Joe, as we wrap things up, of all the cloud security technologies we've talked about today, which one represents the most exciting opportunity for enterprises in the next few years?
You know, I really think that the most exciting capabilities with these cloud technologies are in integrating all of your cloud-based IT operations under a single pane of glass from a management perspective. And the neat part about this that I've always wanted and never been able to do in an internal environment, but we might be able to do in an external environment, is we can control and do much more granular permissions on not just user accounts and how the users log in, how our administrators logged in, like I talked about with the change control. There's also a single pane of glass that can define each server and when the servers are created and why they were created, make sure that you can keep a configuration consistent across all of your services. That was one of the things I found when I was doing the research that was really astounding, is there's some products out there that will allow you to, say, configure a firewall rule. And say your administrators want to take that firewall rule and apply it to all of your servers across your cloud-based enterprise. Well, those servers could be in multiple cloud providers. How do you do that? Well, you load this control onto each one of those servers so that this administrative console can basically configure that security rule, that firewall rule, automatically across multiple platforms, across all the cloud providers at once. I don't think, as a security professional, I've ever seen that capability in any of the internal products. We've seen it a lot with Microsoft Active Directory, and as long as the systems could be a part of that and take advantage of group policy, we could send out these types of configurations. But now we're talking heterogeneous system. We don't care if it's Linux. We don't care if it's Windows. We don't care what type of Linux it is. Is it Ubuntu? Is it Red Hat? Is it Debian? It doesn't matter. We can load up this module, and then we can distribute the rules accordingly. So I think it's a really cool time to be in security, because I think it's going to give us visibility and flexibility into things we never could actually do before.
And that'll do it for this Fact or Fiction podcast. Joe Graneman, thank you for joining us today.
Great, thank you very much.
For more learning materials, don't forget to visit the other lessons in our security school at searchsecurity.com/securityschool. And don't forget, we have many more information security podcasts on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Brandon Blevins. Have a great day.